Hello friends, Chris here, your friendly neighborhood dungeon master. Welcome to this episode of the Heroes of Hovel's Way. If you would like more of this content, or a larger chunk, you can get that. All of Part 2 is now available on our Patreon. You can pick those up by going to patreon.com/thakawa. That's THACOWA. Thank you for listening, and now let's get on with the show.
In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Hovel's Way, two childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the Heroes of Hovel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
She knows that there is something amiss here, but she is not socially adept to have any clue of how to help.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
I know, I've mentioned my dreams before. I had one that didn't just feel meaningful, it felt important.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Nizak.
Why are we teaching when we're fighting something terrible?
You will not invade my small clothes!
Get it off!
Now, we begin.
We cut to the next morning. Odie, you wake up feeling so much better than you did last night.
Long rest.
When you wake up feeling so much better from that stretch, the sun shining in, Monty snoring right behind you like a little, like, purring motorboat of a raccoon. And then there's Silfaria sitting in a chair right next to you looking at you.
Ah! Oh, hi, Silfaria.
Good morning.
Do you not need to sleep at all?
I do not.
Do you just rest? Do you close your eyes? Do you daydream? Like, our brains they get mushy if we don't sleep.
All I have to do is sit here and stare at a wall for about 4 to 6 hours and I feel much better.
Okay.
I let my mind wander.
Okay. That's kind of the same thing. Not exactly, but kind of.
She just nods.
I think Aramon is going to be up early just because he doesn't want to wake Odie up, but at the same time, he wants to make sure that she's going to send that animal messenger out. He's probably been standing outside her door for at least 10 minutes, waiting until he hears the conversation happening, and then he's like, knock, 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 knock.
Yeah?
Odie, are you awake? Because I don't want to wake you up if you're not awake.
Aramon, they're probably going to be here this morning. Why don't we take a walk on the road they're coming in on? We'll probably meet them on their way into town.
All right, but you do have the spell, though, that you could send the messenger out.
I do have the spell.
All right.
As you're having this conversation through the door, Silfaria leans down and whispers, he's been out there for 45 minutes.
I wish he would just tell her how he feels.
This Robin?
Yeah.
You did say that she was going to kill you if he died.
Oh, yeah.
Do I have to defend you from her, or was that a figure of speech?
No, it's a little of column A, a little of column B.
Understood. Aramon, as you were standing outside pacing back and forth, at some point, all of a sudden, you vanished and stepped into the dream world for a second. And you were like, what? And then all of a sudden you stepped back out of it. You have a new power. You are what is called a dream walker. You can step into the parallel world of the dream for a brief time. You can do this a number of times equal to your charisma modifier. If you're doing this during an action sequence, it counts as a bonus action. It lasts for up to 6 seconds or one round, and you can leave it at any time. While you were there, you can try to manipulate the dream world, but you can easily move through it. If you try to manipulate the dream world, the game master will provide a DC based on the task you are trying to accomplish. This is a charisma check, as you need to use your force of personality to change anything in the dream world and have it reflected in the waking world. That is not a broken power at all. I can't wait to see what happens.
As he, like, walks through and then, like, turns around and walks back out, stops for a second and goes, Odie's not going to like this if I just disappear on her. I like being able to do this, though.
You get up. Do you send the messenger? Or no? Or do you just wait for them to show up?
No. Odie got the message back saying they were coming. They're just... Odie's not as worried as Aramon is.
When you come downstairs for breakfast at the Inn of the Stone Golem, Tasbar Meladin is there. He's holding that rock, that elementally infused shard that
Silphira recovered from the slurg. When he sees you, he walks up to you. We have a problem.
I mean, we've got lots of problems, but what's this one?
You didn't kill the slurg. This was like an, I guess if you could say a limb of that slurg. It could use this to copy itself, I guess. That's my best guess.
So it's still out there?
Yes, and it knows what I told it.
And it knows where to go?
Yes.
Which means we need to go after it to get there before it does, or stop it from doing the stuff it's going to do. The Baroness is fine, Ahriman. Robin is fine. We need to go do this. No, we're going to go do this.
But you can send the messenger, though, right?
I lied.
You said you would send the messenger.
I've come to you because I feel like maybe you could do something about it. I mean, I am a Titan Shard user, but I'm not a fighter or a combatant. I'm a scholar.
It's okay. We'll go do with it.
But I'm concerned about what I've done. If you want, I can come with you and help, but I might be better if I stay here.
I don't want you to risk yourself. If you've not been trained for combat, I don't want you to get any injuries that we couldn't necessarily handle at the time.
Understood. If nothing else, I can help this way. And if he leads you outside, I've acquired you some horses.
I like horses.
For you, Odie, and you, Ahriman, and your companion, Silpharia. And he looks at Silpharia with great interest. Silpharia looks away, hops on the horse. Are we leaving? I am uncomfortable.
Hang on just a second. Odie runs back into the inn, grabs two breakfast pocket things, leaves a coin on the counter, and runs back out. Okay, now we can go. I hadn't eaten breakfast yet.
It's like eggs and shredded tuna that was cooked together in a breakfast pocket because this place is fish everywhere.
I mean, if it was salmon, I'd think that would be perfect.
Yep, it's that. It's salmon. That's what it is.
I realize we have a duty and we need to do this. And I am not saying that we should shirk our duty at all. However, I am just saying once we get this done, if they are not back.
Yes. Yes.
You said you were going to send that messenger.
You don't have to go to the mine. You can just go find your friends.
No, we need to go to the mine.
I'm just letting you know. You can do what you want.
You know, Ahriman, you like Robin. Robin likes you. But until you, A, tell her that you like her, things aren't going to happen. Also, if you keep treating her like she's made out of glass, nothing is going to happen. Because Robin can kick your ass. Okay? And you need to treat her like that. You need to treat her like an equal, not somebody who is fragile and gonna fall apart at the last second because you're not there to save her. Okay?
You see Monty, his head's out of the satchel, shaking his head.
I know what you're saying, but when we parted, I still felt like I needed to know what I was going to do. I felt like I had this destiny that was waiting for me, and this was around the time I was telling my father that I wasn't going to be a knight. And I felt like it wasn't right to continue anything with Robin until I knew what I was supposed to be doing. And I can't make her come back to this situation when I have already told her that she had to wait. It is not fair. And that's why I am very concerned about her, but I can't just go back on something like that.
Then you need to trust that Robin is going to be okay, because Robin is strong and smart and capable. And you need to trust that. Yes, you can worry about her. I'm worried about them too. But you gotta trust that she's gonna be okay.
I mean, to be fair, if you were not here and you were injured, I would worry about you too.
Yeah. But I'd have Monty to protect me, so I'd be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I protect her. You hear the raccoon go, meow, 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 meow. Tasmar Meladin is just standing there sipping at a drink that he got from inside the Stone Golem's inn at some point. Like, this is better than most of the romantic dramas that I read every once in a while. As you're just sitting on your horses having this conversation outside the inn.
I just pictured that as the two of us were having this deep conversation, and then there's just a slow pan revealing on the edge of the frame that he's there listening to.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, that's probably better. Like, the horses are there, Silphira's on one of the horses, Monty's got his head sticking out of the bag, and then the camera pans and there's Tasbar just drinking the drink like, well, this is fascinating.
Okay, let's go. We got to catch up to this thing because it's had a whole night's head start.
Yes.
And if there's miners there, we've got to protect the miners, and who knows what it's after inside the mine. I don't like going down in the ground again. But if this is what we got to do, this is what we got to do. So we got to go.
I understand this, yes.
And then you ride off at speed. Luckily, the roads in the barony are quite good. They're well put together. They're easy to ride on. They're well maintained. Every once in a while, there's a patrol of Castakin knights. And it takes you about 8 hours to get to the mine. It is off the main road. It is about an hour's ride off the main road. There is a dirt road that goes to the mine. There's been wagons that have gone back and forth off of the main road onto this dirt road enough that it's easy enough to follow. You come to the mine. It is in like the foothills. It's almost like Appalachia out here. It's rolling hills that go up a good, you know, amount of space. There's trees everywhere. It's rather pleasant. It's a nice temperate day. We are getting towards fall at this point in time in the calendar, so there's a bit of a chill in the air as you've ridden. Your horses are probably tired, but not in any kind of pain or anything like that. But you have tied them off. They're off to the side. You don't hear anything out here. There's nobody. There's no movement outside the mine. This is an iron mine, you've heard. There are carts here and there.
As a side note, when Odie ran back in to grab the breakfast sandwiches, she also left a note with the innkeeper for the Baroness to let her know where the two of them have gone.
Sure thing. Sounds good. What would you like to do? You were outside the mine.
Do we see any signs of the workers? Do we see any signs of struggle? Do we see any signs of fighting or violence or anything like that?
Take some time to walk around out here and take a look.
Yeah.
Give me a perception check. You can have advantage because Monty's helping you.
Odie got a 24.
There are bits of that dried mud that you and Monty both find that indicates Slurg have been in the area.
As she's crouching down looking at it, she'll hold up a piece of it for Aramon to see. They're probably in the mine. Do we see any sign of, like, workers? Were there workers here?
Yes, there are footprints all over the place. There obviously people walk back and forth here all the time. That's why it's not really worth noting, because it doesn't look... You're not sure if there was, like, a fight of any sort, because there's so many footprints all over the place.
Okay. But it's quiet right now.
Yes.
For the first time, I would like to use Detect Magic.
Okay.
Just to see if there is any kind of enchantment on that or any lingering specific type of magic. And actually, I think, you know, from using his divine senses before, I think this is kind of an extension of him talking about magical things over last night and him kind of picking up, wait, if I tune it this way, maybe then I could pick up these things. And now he's kind of trying that out.
So the aura around the mud that Odie has found, there is some faint magic to it. It is actually hard for you to detect because some of it is that darkness that you encountered before. But more of it, as you get around a bit of it and look deeper, it's some kind of enchantment magic. That's what the mud actually is.
I know enough to, you know, pick up on this terminology that I heard as I was discussing this, but I absolutely do not know what any of that means. The first thing he does is he hands it to Odie, almost like she can see what he's looking at. Oh, that's right. You can't see this. And I will explain some of the magic that is there. I can tell it's there because it is so not there. It is that darkness that is almost like negative space that is there. But also, I am sensing something that I believe our friend at the inn told me is similar to enchantment magic, but I do not know what that means.
Well, either way, we've got to go inside.
Are there any lamps or anything in here?
When you get to the entrance and look inside, yes.
Okay.
This place is actually fairly well lit.
Okay.
It's a mine, after all, that people were working in.
So yeah, I will walk in and almost unconsciously kind of like motion for everybody to get behind me. And I'm going to start walking down the hallway and seeing what I can see.
As you start making your way down this tunnel, there's two passages. It keeps going farther to the north, and then it goes off to the west. To the west, there is a sound. It sounds like two voices chanting something. They're muttering, though, in a low volume, so you're not sure what they're saying.
Odie kind of sneaks up and peeks around the corner.
It is darker down this tunnel. It is harder to see. There are two figures down that way, though.
Are they the ones chanting? Do they look like miners? Do they look like cultists?
You're not sure because it's dark, right? They're on their knees. You're not sure what they're doing. You hear them making noises. Like I said, you just peeked around the corner. It's dark down there.
The light that we have, is that from lanterns or is that from torches?
It is lanterns that are hanging on hooks on the walls.
Odie is going to take one of them off of the wall.
Okay.
So we can bring it with us.
Sure.
And then she's going to kind of nod her head in that direction and hold up two fingers to Aramon, and then kind of a shrug because she doesn't know if they're prisoners or if they're bad guys.
Aramon sees this and he stops for a minute and he realizes that Odie is trying not to talk. And then he's trying to figure out how well he can communicate things without talking. So he walks right up to Odie and gets right next to her ear and says, "I don't really do quiet well. If we're going to go introduce ourselves, we might be very obvious about it."
So Odie kind of closes her eyes, takes a deep breath, and then makes an expansive gesture for Aramon to proceed.
Last time you did that, I bounced off a door.
There's no door here. Just two guys kneeling down, and I can't tell if they're prisoners or if they're not. So if you walk in there and they attack us, well, we'll probably know what's going on. At the very least, we'll get a better look at them. And they can probably hear us talking.
If they did hear you talking, they haven't stopped doing whatever they're doing.
Okay, let's go.
So Aramon is going to walk out into the middle of the western passageway, and he's not drawing his sword. He is just walking open-handed towards them, saying, "We did not expect to see anyone in here because we didn't see anyone outside. We are very glad to make your acquaintance. My name is Aramon Durant.
We wish to see you." And then they stop and they turn, and Odie flashes the lantern their way, illuminating this tunnel. They turn, get up off their knees, and they are miners. They look like miners. They have mining gear. They have like padded armor that helps them defend against any of like the shards of rock that come off. They have a couple of pickaxes at their sides, but their faces, their eyes have mud caked on them. Their ears have mud caked over them, and their mouths have mud coating them. They look like they're crying as the mud streaks down their faces as if stained by tears.
"Are you her? Are you Vima? We wish to see her again. We wish to feel her touch once again."
"No. As I said when I introduced myself, I am Aramon Durant. I have not spoken to this person of which you are inquiring about, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more about them."
"She is our everything. She has given us vision. She has given us sight."
And they are saying this both in echoing harmony together.
"We wish to see her again."
And then they pause for a second, as if they're listening to something.
Odie's going to step forward, and she's going to take her water skin and squeeze it to splash it over their the closest one's face to try and wash the mud off.
Go ahead, make an attack roll. Dex check.
If I could have added proficiency mod.
I don't think you have proficiency with squirting someone in the face with a water skin.
I'm just saying, if I could have added my proficiency mod. It's a 12.
Yeah, it's okay. A 10, you only needed to roll a 10 to do what you're trying to do. The water hits the mud, and the mud moves as if it's alive. You've seen something like this before, obviously. And it flicks the water away from itself. And then the miners.
"They are unclean. We must take them for the Vima, for our queen."
And they start moving forward. And at that, the water explodes, and two slurg come out of it. Roll for initiative. Odie, Monty, you're first.
Odie is going to cast Entangle.
What else?
She will cast Monty Starlight Claws on him.
Okay.
And she tells him, "Try not to kill the miners. We might be able to save them."
Okay, boss. Whatever you say. It's Monty's turn.
Monty will parkour along the wall and attack this slurg.
Is there anything I have to roll initially for the Entangle? By the way, the mud slurg are immune to your Entangle.
They all get to make a save. A creature in the area when you cast the spell must succeed on a strength saving throw or be restrained by the entangling plants until the spell ends. DC is 13.
They both save. They got 16 and 21. And the mud slurg are immune to your entangling. They don't care about vines trying to entangle them because they're made of mud. It just slurks off of them.
Fine, be that way.
It's still difficult terrain, right? For the miners? It is difficult terrain for the miners.
Hang on, Monty. He's going to miss.
Odie, these slurg splurch out of the water. They say what they say. You're like, "Entangle, entangle!" And a bunch of vines pop up out of the earth and the ground trying to entangle these creatures. The mud slurgs don't care. The vines actually hit them, try to wrap around them. They just slurk through it. slide off of it. The miners seem unnaturally strong and just are like ripping the vines apart as they're like stomping through it. Monty parkours along the wall, slashes at the mud slurg, and does nothing. Just misses completely. He probably got freaked out by the vines. Like, they're just like, oh man, these vines are all in the way. Come on, get these vines out of the way. I can't get at them. Too small, too small. Silfaria's turn. Silfaria steps up, trying to keep the miners alive. That is fine. I will destroy that abomination of earth. She blasts it with water. She does not blast it with water, rolling a one. I will do better next time, I promise.
Her and Monty.
She steps out of the way.
It's okay. We've been rolling ones. That means our luck is going to completely change at any moment now.
It is now Mudslurg's turn. Oh god, Odie, you just decided to stay there. The one Mudslurg goes and tries to slam into Monty, but completely misses with a 5. We'll get to that second. And the other one rolls a 13 to hit you.
That's gonna miss. Odie has an AC of 15.
So these things slurk forward. The one is still in the entangling, because it doesn't care about your entangling, and it tries to thwack Monty with its muddy limb, that living mud that you've seen before that will drag people underground. Monty does, yeah, yeah, jumping off the rocks, avoiding getting slapped. The other one comes up to you. How do you dodge it attacking you?
Odie does this little panic thing of step back, step side, duck, and it just completely misses her.
Yeah, swings over the top of your head, hits the wall behind you, mud slurks off of it, slimes around your feet and back to the mud slurk, recombining with it. It is the miner's turn now. They can get there because they don't have to move very far. If they end their turn in the entangling, do they have to make the save again?
No. It's just difficult terrain at this point.
Okay. Well, they both move up and they attack you. That's a 23. That's a 10. The 10 misses you. The one comes up, swings at you as you're like ducking, dodging, weaving, diving. It's like dodgeball in here. If, you know, you played dodgeball when you were a kid, which maybe you did. There are a lot of kids in that hovel's way town. I mean, probably threw some sort of leather ball at each other. But one of them clips you with a pickaxe for 5 points of piercing damage. And it slams into your calf, giving you a good scrape.
Ow!
Aramon, it is your turn.
Aramon is going to try something that he has not tried before, and I don't know whether this will be successful or not. When I was picking my equipment, what I got instead of a holy symbol is a reliquary. And what I'm picturing now after the dream that we just had is I have a flower that looks like the flower that I was handed inside a little glass, you know, container that I have around my neck. I am going to hold up this reliquary and see if I can turn them, because my particular turning affects aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, or fiend.
And slurk.
Normally, I would just be down to fight these things because they are not natural things. But I'm trying to see if in turning them, I can maybe drive something out of the miners.
Sure. By the way, for you two and for everybody at home, there are two other new kinds of energy in the game. One of them is starlight and one of them is dreaming. Just so you know, some of these creatures have weaknesses or vulnerabilities to starlight or dreaming. Some of them have resistances to that stuff. You guys definitely have those tags in a lot of your spells. Most of your spells, really, and abilities. So you turn them?
Yes, that would be a DC 12 wisdom save, which I know isn't great, but...
Hey man, it's better than nothing. Let's find out what happens. one of the miners fails. Both of the slurry fail.
So, yeah, they cannot willingly come closer to me than 30 feet, and they stay turned for 1 minute or until they take damage.
The one miner screams out as the mud just flakes off of his face. He's no longer combatant.
That is sort of what I was hoping to have happen. I will say that to Odie.
What does it look like when you use that power?
So when I hold up the reliquary, the flower starts to glow a little bit more. Then I kind of picture everything getting dark for a second within the area that I turn, and then really bright. It's not so much that it's flaring out, it's that any like blue and purple tint that was already there gets really intense as soon as that happens. And then there's just like this feeling that everything stops for a second and then starts back up.
And then the one miner clashes the ground, so the mud just slurks off of him and goes into the ground. The other slurk, there's like this aura of energy and it's almost pushing against them, pushing back against their muddy bodies, not letting them get any closer to you. Anything else?
Let's see. That was an action. I want to pull the one person back, but I don't know if I can do that because I already used my action. So
you did already use your action.
However, I am going to get closer to Odie so that if something hits her, I can use my interception style to protect her.
Smart. Like it. Odie, it's your turn.
Odie's going to cast Shillelagh and hit the Slurg. Okay, I got a 16.
Yes.
7 points of damage.
Tell me how you kill it.
She's panicking because she's getting surrounded. She basically concentrates her second. Her staff glows with that starlight power of hers, with like motes of starlight flickering all up and down it. And then she just hauls off and whacks the Slurg in front of her as hard as she can.
As you're panicking, you cast Shillelagh. The starlight fairies surround your staff, giving it that glowing, twinkling power. When you hit the Slurg, there's a concussive explosion as your staff slams through it, exploding it outward. So it's already being pushed away by Aramon. When you hit it, it just blows backwards like a giant mud splatter, exploding outwards. It's Monty's turn. What is he doing?
Monty reaches out and he uses the wall to leap up and slash his claws across where the Slurg's face would be. And he gets a 16 on his roll.
Nice. Decent damage.
Yeah, he does 4 points of damage with the Starlight Claws.
Oh, that totally kills him. The Starlight Claw slashes into the Slurg, then there's a detonation, because it seems that your powers, both of your powers, detonate when they hit these things that they're vulnerable to them. And there's just mud everywhere. Little chunks of bones.
Monty's covered in mud, and he looks at Odie, he's like, I did that.
I feel like, I'm not sure if Odie is like, good job, or like, gods be damned, because you're getting attacked by miners. Silpharia is going to blast. It's like, I will try again. Let it work this time. It did not work. She just blasts water over the head of the miner. Gosh darn it.
She rolled a 1 last time. It was a 2 this time, so getting better.
Substantially better, right?
She's twice as good as she was last time.
This one is like, for Vima, for Vima. It swings at you, Odie. You want to intercept Aramon?
Yes, I do. I'm going to use my reflex, and that will reduce the damage by 6.
Yeah, the pick descends on Odie, but you manage to step in the way. Tell me how you block all of the incoming damage since I did 6 damage.
Using a pick, and I don't think that he's got like a lot of finesse in how he's using it. So as soon as I see it coming down, I just put the sword at an angle between the haft and the leading edge of the pick and kind of twist it into the other direction and spin him away from her.
He's like, oh, the light from the flower. Oh God, my eyes. Aramon, it's your turn. Your hand starts glowing, by the way, as you get closer to this guy.
Okay. The first thing I was thinking of doing was to cast Bless on him, and I don't know if he has the opportunity to make a save, but that would make him more likely to make a save.
You're not sure?
Yeah.
I gave you a context clue.
just touch him.
Yeah, I'm going to walk up, and if it takes all of that, I will pump like 10 points into him.
You actually know how much it takes if you can touch him. By the way, it's a touch attack.
Okay.
It's kind of like punching somebody. You can have your proficiency bonus.
Oh, yeah.
Odie, if you were to punch somebody, I would give you your proficiency bonus, but squirting somebody in the face with a water skin, not proficiency bonus. If you want to downtime, take time to learn how to squirt people in the face with a water skin, you know, we'll call it probably like, you know, some amount of downtime to become proficient at squirting people in the face with water skins.
That's a 17.
Yep. All you have to do is spend 1 point of your lay on hands to cleanse this.
Okay.
Cool. Tell me what it looks like.
I actually come at him almost looking like I am going to attack, and then as soon as he overextends, I just touch him on his shoulder, like as he starts moving towards me.
When you do, there's a flash of that purple and blue light, and the mud just disintegrates off, and there's a little bit of a female feminine that comes from the mud as it turns into hard rock and falls to the ground, and the miner collapses to the ground.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Heroes of Hobble's Way. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. If you'd like to interact with us, you can join our Discord. There's a link to join it in our show notes. We talk about D&D and other fantasy gaming stuff there along with other topics. If you want some more, you can be a patron. Being a patron, you can get the first 7 episodes of Part 2 as one large chunk right now. Join for free for 7 days and stick around for $5 a month.
I'll be releasing our episodes early there in larger pieces going forward. We also have PDF content of GM tools like Jared's layer action piece, and things you can use in your games like stat blocks for the Slurg and magic swords from Jared. I also talk about the game there, The Heroes of Hovel's Way, in a GM podcast called Chris's Hovel. Check it out at patreon.com/thakawa. That's patreon.com/thac0wa. The Patreon helps us make this show and Thaka with advantage. Speaking of patrons who help us out, I would like to thank David Ridout, Matea the Sorceress, The Polish Ogre, Peter Martin, Eric Bontz, Doug Rass, and Victor Wyatt. Last thing, we're part of the Polygamers Podcast Network. Great show on there is called Pandas Talking Games. It's where Phil and Senda take questions from the listeners and answer them, like Card Talk, but for your game. Thank you once again for listening, and beware Valhalla Morris and his Slurg. They just love getting in your small clothes.